Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Inside Lacrosse Unit Talks, powered by Google Hangout. John Gelati here. The third in a row for you this week, finishing it off with Notre Dame's starting defense, goalie John Kemp, and then close defenseman Matt Miller, Brian Buglione, and Stephen O'Hara. They joined us Friday, a day before their 2 o'clock showdown with Villanova at home, that is live on ESPNU, and a week before their Konica Minolta Big City Classic showdown with Syracuse. Big East rivalry, huge game for Big East seeding and tournament implications. 6:30, April 27th at MetLife Stadium. We're excited about that one, and we're excited to have the guys live via Google Hangout. This audio that we pulled from the video chat that aired live on YouTube and Google Plus, Inside Lacrosse's pages, also on InsideLacrosse.com. We thank everyone who participated with the Isle Hangout hashtag. Got some great questions from people, and decided to pull the audio for you. I had a great discussion about their team chemistry, really got to the heart of what makes Notre Dame's defense so good, top five in the country, going back every year since 2006. Pretty impressive. They're on a nice run so far this year, number two in the country, and poised to earn a top seed for the NCAA tournament. But got some great stuff out of the guys, really kind of talked some good stuff about last week's Georgetown game and the comeback. If you watch the ESPNU game, you were kicked out of the huddle by head coach Kevin Corrigan, and these guys were nice enough to take us inside that huddle in the first quarter at when Georgetown went up 5-2. So some great insight there, and also got a lot of great work into the bus karaoke that has become such a hallmark of the Notre Dame program. So we appreciate the time from those guys. We look forward to seeing them April 27th at the Konica Minolta Big City Classic, bigcityclassic.com for tickets. Also want to remind you that this podcast is available on iTunes. Please search and subscribe to Inside Lacrosse on iTunes. It's also available at insidelacrosse.com/podcast. We encourage everyone to share these podcasts to everyone that they can via whatever medium strikes your fancy. Reddit, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Pinterest, whatever works for you, please spread it out there. And if you have any questions, you can email me at jgelati@insidelacrosse.com. You can also tweet at me at jgelati, and then at @inside_lacrosse. Again, thank you to the guys for coming out and spending some time with us on a Friday, and thank you all for watching. And hopefully this, if you didn't watch, you can listen to this podcast and learn some more. So thanks for coming out, and enjoy. Unit Talk, powered by Google Hangout, this time welcomed in by the Notre Dame starting defense. Why don't you guys kind of go around the room there and introduce yourselves to the fans.
Hey, how's it going? I'm John Kemp. I'm the goalie. I'm a senior. I'm here with the rest of the defense. We got,
how's everything going? I'm Steve O'Hara, junior defenseman.
And I'm Matt Miller. I'm a senior defenseman.
Ryan Buglione, junior defenseman.
Thanks, guys, for joining us. A reminder to everybody, you can check this out on Google+, YouTube, Inside Lacrosse's accounts, also InsideLacrosse.com. If you want to ask questions, the best way is to use Twitter, the hashtag ILHangout. So why don't we start off, just kind of give us the lay of the land, where the season is. You're coming up on Saturday against Villanova live on ESPNU at 2 o'clock, and then the final regular season home game will be the Big City Classic April 27th at MetLife Stadium in New York. How are you guys feeling right now heading into the last two regular season games?
Yeah, so, last weekend we had a big win against Georgetown. They came here and kind of jumped on us early, but, we were able to recollect and turned out to be a pretty good game for us. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. we're playing Villanova, and, obviously they're really hot right now, so that should be a great test for us. And then, we're excited about the Big City Classic coming up when we play Syracuse.
Yeah, so we've been getting used to Villanova style of offense all week, so it's definitely going to be a test for us to see how we play against that. But I think with playing Georgetown last week, they're a little bit similar, so that helped us in preparation for Villanova tomorrow.
Yeah, Villanova is going to be a great test for our team. It's kind of like the Canadian style, but a little faster. A lot of guys with quick sticks and really fast, kind of puts you in weird slide roles, so it's going to be a good test for us.
I think we've kind of played teams this year that have prepared us for this Canadian-style open offense with the corner picks and a lot of two-man stuff, Denver, a lot of open sets like that, and even Georgetown last week. So I think we're kind of honing in on what they're going to be able to do to us, and I think we have a good idea.
And now a lot's been made. John Clue has gotten a lot of publicity lately, not the tallest player in Division I.
What kind of unique challenges does playing a guy like him with that kind of shiftiness present to you guys as close defensemen?
Yeah, that's definitely something we've talked about preparing this week. I think he's actually like 5'4", like 140 or something. So he's definitely the smallest guy we've played so far this year. I don't think we've played a guy smaller than that in my 4 years here. And he's definitely got the goal-scoring ability. He's quick off the dodge. He likes to kind of go all in a little bit from the alleys. And he's definitely got that vision that you'd like to see an offensive player. So defensively, we're definitely going to have to stay close to his body. Don't really stay up, play up in his head, because it'll be easy to get penalties. He's definitely drawn a good amount of penalties so far this year. So he's definitely something that we're thinking about going into the game defensively. So he's definitely shown some success so far this year. I think from a defensive standpoint, I think these guys can maybe talk about specifically what they would try to do.
Yeah, so I think Coach Byrne and Coach Corey have been preaching all week, you know, not just on Clue, but on all of their guys to stay really low. A lot of them are quick, shifty, small type of guys. So, but, you know, we're confident Tyler Anderson, Matt Landis, our two poles, and our D middies, Dave Miller and Quinn Cully, you know, we're confident they'll be okay on them.
We had the opportunity to have John Sosha, a little bit bigger version of Clue,
maybe a couple of ones.
He did a good job this week, so hopefully that'll transition over to the game.
Nice. Now let's kind of take it back to the Georgetown game. You know, coming off Sunday, you know, a different story first quarter to the final three quarters. What adjustment did you guys make after that huge run that Georgetown came out to up five goals? You know, up 5-2 in the first quarter. You guys only allowed three after that. What was the adjustment you made on the defensive end?
You know, I think one of the things that we've been struggling with the past couple games is just coming out hot. And, you know, obviously they jumped on us early, but I think it came down to kind of owning our individual matchups more and, you know, being clear in our communication that they were kind of floating in an open set in a crease guy. So just kind of knowing who the slide is and just kind of playing better one-on-one defense really helped us out. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I agree. I think they jumped out on us. They were firing from the get-go, and we kind of not that we were on our heels, but we weren't as aggressive as we usually were in our individual matchups. And on the ground, they kind of took it to us in the ground ball game in the first quarter. But they were messing their schemes. They're messing with our slide guys and our roles. And so I think we got together after the first quarter in a timeout, Coach Gordon called, and kind of settled down and got our communication to where it needed to be, and kind of teamed it up from there on. And just competed.
Yeah. That huddle was. We were. You know, those of us watching on ESPNU were not allowed inside that huddle. Not that I blame Coach Corrigan for making that move, but I mean, can you give us any more insight into what was said in that huddle and what we missed out on? I guess.
Well, he basically just said that we were getting dominated on the ground balls, and you know, we didn't really need to design any plays or, you know, talk about what they were doing, because we went over that all during practice that week. So it pretty much just came down to us playing, us getting ground balls, and if we did that, then it would take care of itself.
I think from my standpoint, I think it's pretty obvious over the last three quarters. I think they only had seven shots on goal in the last three quarters, one of which was. And within like the last minute, it was like a layup that obviously we don't want to give up, but it obviously was something that they kind of prepared for after a timeout. I think that the kind of shots that I was seeing compared to the first quarter and the latter three quarters, I think there's a big difference in the communication between our defensemen, our D middies, and then also the offensive middies that got stuck on defense. So I think as a whole unit, I think over those last three quarters might have been our best three quarters.
Yeah. I just think Coach Corian, you know, really just kind of made us get going, you know, inspired us to play better. But that's going to come into huge, because Villanova is, you know, one of those teams that jumps out really early on you. They're a lot, you know, similar to Georgetown in that regard. So it's going to be important that we don't come out flat again.
I know last year, I think it was 7-2
at halftime last year.
So we have to... We've been focusing this week on getting out to a fast start or just matching their intensity from the beginning.
you know, I think, yeah, a heck of a turnaround by you guys in that game. It was an amazing performance down the, you know, the last three quarters. Good to see that turnaround for you guys. What is the key? I mean, everybody talks about the defensive system of Notre Dame and, you know, and how great the system is. I mean, you guys have been, I believe, top five goals against average. It hasn't been outside the top five since 2006. It's a pretty impressive run, you know, with a lot of number ones, number twos at the end of the year for that defensive unit. How do you guys kind of describe what makes you successful on the defensive end?
I think, at least my perspective, I don't know what these guys have to say, but I think the biggest thing with our defense is our communication. A lot of smart guys, a lot of guys that are athletic, but first and foremost, we know how to talk to each other. It's kind of a two-way communication thing. I mean, one guy will say something, and the other guy will acknowledge it with a name attached to his call, his read, whatever, and that way everybody knows where we are. We're all on the same page, and we've seen most of the actions before. It's not like we're getting confused by what another team's doing. It's more, it comes down to if we can talk through it and kind of organize from within, and then that kind of branches out to the demities and everything like that. But I think that pretty much sums up how we've been so successful.
Yeah, and you know, just going off of that, I think we play a really simple defense. Like, a lot of people try to examine it and try to pick out the small things we do, but we do the same thing for every game. We don't change our game plan from team to team, and we don't really care about matchups either. So, you know, that's why we're not afraid to switch, you know, behind the goal, you know, a short stick on an attackman, and just kind of having the confidence that we always have a slide ready for us. If we get beat, we're going to cover up the slide. You know, just makes it easier to play on ball and off ball.
Yeah, I think what Matt said, you know, just having a smart IQ and just being aware of your situations and the guy on ball, having the confidence that there's five guys off ball working really hard to, you know, slough in and get a slide ready in case he gets beat. And I think just, you know, giving up shots that, you know, John will eat up is definitely helpful.
I think going off of what Steve said, I think obviously it's very important off ball, the communication, but I think our defense, our middies, I think everyone really has a good understanding of kind of who the least dangerous guy is on the field at any given time. So I think being able to slough in at maybe on the backside and not have to worry about one guy is something that kind of really helps us, I guess, anywhere on the field that we deem to be more dangerous than the others.
Now, who's the quarterback? Who kind of runs the communication back there?
I mean, obviously, it's kind of like a two-way thing. I mean, I think everyone really contributes a lot, but I think Maddie actually talks the most and has the best understanding of what we're trying to do. And I mean, any given time on the field, you'll hear him talking what kind of slide package we're in, who's going, who's the trapdoor, like who's coming backside, and who's freeing up, but. I think Maddie definitely takes the lead role as a captain on the team, also as a captain on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been here playing, you know, close defense the longest too, so kind of just being groomed from, you know, the guys in the past, Sam Barnes, Kevin Ridgeway, Mike Creighton, kind of just helps you learn it. But, I mean, Kemp's barking in goal the whole game too, so it's just kind of just relaying the information.
I think, Matt, you might have the most distinctive voice.
is we have to be especially loud with Maddie because he's partially deaf in one ear. So, you know, that might be an excuse why he's the loudest, because he can't even...
yeah, that could, but the only other lacrosse guys I know are JoJo Marasco, actually, and Paul Rabel. Both are kind of deaf in one side, too, so I think it's good company to
True. That's pretty good company. I like that. That's the key to success. Just talking about building chemistry, it's something that I asked the Princeton guys and the Cornell guys as well, an attack and a midfield unit. You know, this year, you know, Matt Miller and Stephen O'Hara, you know, holdovers from last year with Kevin Randall, and then Brian Bouguillon coming in on that close D unit, you know, with John obviously back in goal. What's been the key to kind of developing? And it seems like Notre Dame does that every year. There's like, you know, one guy graduates to MLL, and then you just find another guy and plug him in, and the system's just as good. So what's the key, I guess, for you guys, you four, developing that chemistry again, you know, this year and just kind of, you know, not really missing a beat from the last couple of years?
I think a lot of it can be attributed to Coach Byrne and, you know, the system that he's developed here and kind of, you know, year in, year out, we're one of the top defenses. But I think the chemistry starts back in the fall, just getting used to how everyone plays. And, you know, in the weight room, we always stay for extra 15, 20 minutes called the Mean 15. So I think the defense builds a bond then, and then that carries over the season. You know, every day for practice, we have, you know, 15 to 20 minute warm up, and I think that's what really gets us close together because we're working every day with each other.
Yeah, just, I think chemistry is, I know a couple of the other guys you've had this with said, hey, chemistry is off the field too, and we're all really good friends. We do pretty much everything together. So, you know, if you have chemistry off the field, it translates more easily on the field.
I think from my perspective, like when we graduate somebody like last year, Kevin Randall, and obviously me stepping up, but it's not just it's not one guy. Like we have our fourth pole, Chris Provoznik. Like there's no step off between the next guy, and everybody knows our system. Everybody knows what we're trying to do, and we're all athletic, smart guys. So it's just, yeah, chemistry is a big thing, and I think our defense has that from top to bottom, whether the guys are playing or they're on the second team or whatever it is. And I think that happens from the seniors who graduate, that kind of take freshmen and sophomores, younger guys, under their wing and kind of show them the ropes and show them what they need to do, what their role can be on the team. And I think we do a great job of that from upperclassmen to underclassmen.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, personality off the field. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. Like, what's kind of the personality roles on amongst you four?
Kemp's definitely the laid-back type of guy. I've never seen him, you know, blow up on any of us in the game when, you know, we do something really dumb, which is kind of gives us a better confidence.
Didn't you want to kind of fight with somebody?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Denver game, I got a slash after one of the saves, and I kind of just gave him a little... little cross check, let them know I'm still there. But I think I kind of choose my places to kind of let myself be known, and I think that's kind of a testament to kind of the person I am. But it's also I think that it can be an effective way to kind of show my capabilities as a player, but also as a senior on the team. So. I think that I choose my times and places to kind of do what I do.
That leads into a great question from Ryan Mix on Twitter about your bicep workout, John, and how that helps your intimidation game. Looks like you got a pretty strenuous workout. What can you tell us about that?
I mean, not so much now, but I think what he's talking what he's talking about is, I think, coming in before my – after my sophomore year, coming into my junior year, I was on the biceps all summer.
He was on the Scotty Rogers workout routine.
And I came in with some pretty big arms. But it's not as big as they used to be. But people definitely say that they're a lot bigger than the rest of my body.
Well, that's good. It's an important muscle to work on. So the Mean 15. What? Tell us. That sounds pretty awesome. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the Mean 15 or the Terrible 30, or whatever you want to call it.
It went up this year.
Yeah.
Every year it goes a couple more minutes.
So after, you know, we do our team lift, and then defense kind of started a tradition where, you know, just the close guys in the D midi stay afterwards and kind of do specific, mainly agility drills that kind of just help us improve overall, you know, whether that's ladders, you know, wall ball with a med ball, footwork stuff, wrist strengthening, you know, all little things that, like, defenders need that we might not get time in, like, the main lift, but it's just kind of a testament, just keep, you can always get better.
And followed by chocolate milk at the end, right? I mean, that's the...
Of course. Yeah, Gatorade and shakes.
Yeah.
Now, is that the meat, M-E-A-T, 15, or mean, M-E-A-N?
M-E-A-N.
Just to get that right.
Yeah. Like
mean, it. Okay.
Yeah. I like the meat, though.
John does the meat.
Yeah.
John. Yeah.
Yeah. I like meat better. I guess moving on a little bit. So in talking about that, you know, kind of the team system, it, you know, again, everybody kind of talks about the team system at Notre Dame. But, you know, almost to the detriment of your individual skills. Like, do you guys take that personally a little bit? That, like, you know, it's always like Notre Dame system Notre Dame system and less like individuals, or is that kind of like a rallying cry?
Not really. I mean, like, I think we all just want to win, so we don't really care about the individual stuff as much. But I mean, going off of that, I mean, a lot of us didn't play our first year, and I think, you know, we could have played other places the first couple years, but that's just a testament to, you know, the strength of our defense. But, you know, once we get that chance to play, you just got to make the most of it.
Yeah, and I think that I don't think that's like a black mark against us and our skills, but I think within our defense we can there's definitely places where you can kind of pick your individual battles and what the plays that you can make physically and athletically. And I think none of us really think about it like we're not individuals and people like blame it on the system or whatever. But I think we work really hard to play the system that we do because it works. And I don't think any of us really regret that or anything like that.
Yeah, I think we take pride in that it's a team system, and we all know that we can accomplish way more as six or seven individuals playing defense than if, you know, everyone is going out chasing their matchups and just focusing on their man, because then we'd give up a lot of off ball, or we won't be ready to slide if someone gets beat. So I think we take pride, and we realize that if we play as one cohesive group compared to six individuals, then we're going to do a lot better.
One thing that Coach Corrigan's mentioned a few times in the past, and I know he's mentioned a few times this year, is kind of the mentality that the whole's greater than the parts. So I think that that's something that the whole team takes into account when we go onto the field. So I think we all have a good understanding that individually we might all be very good players, but we're going to be even better if we play as a team.
Well, interestingly enough, on Twitter I just got this question. Again, we're using the hashtag ILHangout. Hope this hangout isn't as boring as your defense, hashtag compliment. How do you respond to that, calling you guys boring as a defense?
You reveal the source of that Twitter
account? Greg Glenday? I don't know who that is, do you?
All right, we're coming to you, Greg.
People don't appreciate some of the little things as much as we do, such as a hammer slide turning someone back and then another slide comes, or staying topside. So I think it's about the little things and not so much about the flashy plays with over the head checks or ding dongs or all those other types of things that you don't see us do.
I think that some people might call our defense boring, but we're not giving up 19 goals in a game, no matter to who it is. I don't care if it's flashy or not, but I mean it works and we enjoy playing it, and I think it kind of speaks for itself that we might maybe look boring, but I think that's part of our where we're coming from, and I think it's intimidating to some other teams that we're so organized and we're not gonna go chasing around a guy trying to take the ball away, but I mean we're quietly kind of driving him into the ground.
Fair enough, and I just want to issue this out to your defensive midfield. No slight to them and not having them in this chat. Just didn't think that two or three more guys would really work in here. But maybe we can try that again sometime. But no disrespect to those guys. Let's kind of flash forward a little bit. I know you guys are obviously focused on Villanova Saturday at 2:00, live on ESPNU, home game for you guys. But also, I just wanted to flash ahead to the Konica Minolta Big City Classic, April 27th. MetLife Stadium, BigCityClassic.com for tickets. Now, the last couple of chats I've done has been all New York, New Jersey, Connecticut guys. No real tri-state guys among this group. We got Northern Virginia, Maryland, Philadelphia, and Southern Tier of New York, which is not too far away. But just kind of talk about the opportunity to play in a venue like MetLife Stadium, the home of the Jets and the Giants, and just kind of what that means for you guys. A big game, obviously, against Syracuse, but the venue and the opportunity and playing in the New York area. That I know has a ton of Notre Dame alums.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the highlights of the season for us. Playing in front of so many people kind of gets us hyped up for the game, obviously. And then we get to see all our alumni who, live in New York. A lot of kids graduated last year and went, so we'll definitely see them again. But just the whole experience was first class. Like, we played St. John's in it last year, and that's just awesome playing in an NFL arena. And we've got a lot of Jets and Giants fans. I know Ryan Foley and Sean Rogers are definitely pretty excited to be playing in MetLife.
coming from an Eagles fan, but so hopefully we'll be at the Final Four this year in Philadelphia. But you know, just going back to the NCAA tournament, I think it'll help us get used to playing in front of a large crowd, and you know, it's definitely going to have a playoff feel to it. So just being in a pressure situation, playing a really good team, I think will help us out in the long run.
And Brian, are you a Jets or Giants fan? Being a Binghamton area guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Giants fan. A lot of guys give me crap because I might be I'm like equidistant from Buffalo and from the city. So a lot of guys make fun of me and say I'm like upstate New York, and a lot of guys are like Westchester County guys, or Northern New Jersey, and they're real Giants fans. But yeah, I'm definitely a Giants fan. So it was awesome to play in the stadium last year when we played St. John's, and I know a lot of my family will be there, a lot of friends, and I think we're all looking forward to the opportunity to play in such a cool place.
Nice. Well, again, April 27th, BigCityClassic.com. Looking forward to it. Should be an excellent matchup with Syracuse. Important question that I've always wanted to ask. The freshman bus karaoke video just came out. You guys have been through a number of those as juniors and seniors. Give me the best and worst freshman bus karaoke performances you have ever seen.
I think Goins this year was horrible.
Yeah, I think this year the worst one goes to Adam Goins.
He came in with a lot of potential.
Yeah, he was hyping himself up, yeah. and he really put himself up on a pedestal, but he I mean, they have noise-canceling headphones on, so you can't really hear what everybody's saying. You don't know if they're cheering or booing for you. And so he had no idea that we were all booing for him so hard and yelling at him to get off and stop. And he thought we were cheering for him, and he performed the song from start to finish.
Same Country Roads, but I think at least during my time here, some of the better ones, Will Gilmartin, he's a sophomore midi on our team. He was like in choir at his school or whatever, so he's got the voice of an angel. So he won last year. And John Kemp, his freshman year, I think me and you actually tied.
Yeah,
debatable. He's saying It Wasn't Me by Shaggy, and that brought the house down.
Yeah. Mine was too explicit. To me.
Steve O'Hara was the only one that's ever been cut off by Coach Corrigan.
Inappropriately, I couldn't be on the YouTube video, so I don't know.
What was the song?
It's not so, right.
It's the Step Brothers song about boats.
Ah, nice. Nice, a classic indeed. What? Give us a little bit of insight into the music on the team. Like, how, you know, what are the songs that you guys go to in the locker room pregame? Is there a DJ? Like, what's kind of the music flow for you guys?
DJ Ryan Mix is our house DJ. He's also the bagpipe guy, so he's very versed in his musical talents. But, you know, it's all just kind of the main music everyone's listening to these days. I think tomorrow we're trying to switch up the warm-up mix to get a little more pump for the game, and it's our seniors' last home game. So Tyler Anderson, I think, is throwing on some Bruce Springsteen on the warm-up mix. That should be good.
Yeah, expect a couple of, like, 10 ground balls out of him.
You heard it here first. Nice. And a little homage to Jersey the next week, so that's good. We'll get you ready for New Jersey Turnpike. Speaking of, you know, riding on the bus, any key movies that you guys go to, you know, when you're taking bus rides, especially you guys go to Chicago a lot, that's a good, hour and a half drive, can be a lot worse in traffic, I know. What are the go-tos for you guys?
I think this year has been, the freshmen have done a poor job of bringing movies. So whatever, it has to be Coach Byrne approved, so anything with violence, he likes, so I think a big one last year was Law Abiding Citizen.
Yeah, we watched that probably three times.
And A Knight's Tale.
Mike Shepherdson
brought that everywhere. Rumored that he still keeps it and in his backpack at all times and sleeps under his clothes. So that one went on a couple times.
I think a movie that I liked we did this year was actually very surprising. That it actually got passed by Coach Byrne was Pitch Perfect.
Very underrated movie.
Everyone seems to make fun of it, but I think everyone on the team actually loved it, and we had a good time watching it, but we were also very surprised that that Coach Berm would even think twice about passing that.
I detected some an Aka Awesome reference at some point in the freshman video, I think, which is obviously.
I've actually watched that movie too, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you said it perfectly. I actually watched it this past weekend, and it was the same thing. I was like, this is not good, but it's good. I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
it sneaks up on you.
Music.
I'm glad I probably shouldn't have admitted that on air, but just following your lead. Just a couple more questions here. A couple people have asked about pregame meal. I know you guys are very nutrition-focused and probably, you know, maybe more organized in that arena than any other team that I've seen in college. What's usually the go-to pregame meal for you guys?
We always eat. I think it's like 3 hours before a game. And, you know, if it's like kind of a later afternoon game, it's always chicken parm, you know, whether that's in the hotels or at a local restaurant. But we've had a lot of like midday games this year. And Coach Corrigan's favorite place in South Bend is called The Skillet. It's this Polish breakfast house. And mixed reviews on the team, but it's just a big buffet. So you make your own omelets, so it works.
Yeah, it's
pretty
great chocolate milk.
Yeah, great
canister,
chocolate milk.
Canister.
So 3 hours ahead of time, nothing else after that. Is that the doctor's orders?
Yeah, I think Coach works. I know he's got a dialogue with our nutritionists and their staff, and I think all of our scheduling that goes on with our director of operations, Jason Lamb, and our managers, they do a great job of setting all this stuff up for us, and we couldn't be more thankful to them. But I think everything is scheduled for a reason and in the appropriate time, and I think that starts with our pregame meal.
Nice. And then last question, we talked about this a little bit in the pre-interview. The mentoring program you guys do at Dickinson Middle School, sounds like you guys got a pretty cool thing going over there and they got a lacrosse program started. Why don't you kind of tell us about that and what that's all about?
Yeah, so every Tuesday, I guess it is every Tuesday at 7 in the morning, you know, we drive to the other side of town to Dickinson Fine Arts Academy. It's just the local public middle school. And we kind of mentor and pretty much just talk to for about an hour the kids that are, you know, at risk in their middle school. You know, we've been doing this throughout the South Bend community at various middle schools, you know, during all of our times here. And just kind of building a relationship with a younger guy just helps them get through because these kids are, you know, not on the right path right now.
So, and then we helped them start a lacrosse program. And I know Will Corrigan and Hank Williams, two sophomores on our team, were the primary coaches. You know, they just kind of went over drills and, you know, taught them pretty much the basics. So I think the kids have really responded well. And, you know, you can see them that they're really excited to keep learning. And I think they came out
to our game last week.
So they were fired up about that on Tuesday. And I think next week is going to be our last one for the year. So I guess we're having a
big breakfast party at Dickinson.
Breakfast party, 7 a.m.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, you guys do some great work there. Well, it's about time to wrap it up. Interestingly enough, though, I believe that tweet from Glenn about the boring defense has now been gone. So I think he's a little worried. Interesting. But he is actually looked like a New York City area guy, so maybe we will see him April 27th at the Konica Minolta Big City Classic. But again, you guys are playing Villanova Saturday at 2 o'clock, ESPNU live Eastern time, and then next Saterday, 6:30 in Eastern Standard Time at the Big City Classic, bigcityclassic.com. Again, Matt Miller, Stephen O'Hara, John Kemp, and Brian Buglione, thank you so much for your time. Great work so far. Good luck the rest of the way. And any parting words?
Thanks a lot for having us, and I guess we'll see you guys at the Big City Classic.
Go Irish.
Thank you.
Sugar.
Yeah. Awesome. Good luck this weekend, and we'll see you in a week.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.